Great. So thank you guys for coming this morning. I know the first presentation on the last day is not always the easiest one to get to, so thanks for making it. My name is Anders Gerda. I'm not a doctor yet. Maybe I'll get an honorary doctorate when I'm in my 60s or 70s. That's my only hope of getting a doctorate, I think, at this point. But I am an associate researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I work in the Organic and Sustainable Cropping Systems Lab there. And I also do a lot of video work and media work on the side as Windborne Media. So I'm likely not going to break any ground or blow any minds today. I'm just going to use this time as a general encouragement to think a little bit more creatively about the way that we extend our information, our data, our knowledge, and the tools that we used to extend that. So I'm likely preaching to the choir here in the room, I'm aware. But be that as it may, I'll go through. So the way I see it, there are two ways to share knowledge. The first is to push information out to the listener, and sometimes that information can look like this, right? And I think of this as kind of a data distillate. It's evaporated, right? You kind of have to unpack this. It's dehydrated. Sometimes I look at this and I think of jerky. You know, I think of something that's a little bit tough to kind of bite into, tough to digest. And so if it's dehydrated, one way we can kind of rehydrate that is using our data to tell more of a story. And by a story, I don't necessarily mean characters, not fictionalized, just a way to more carefully curate the information that we're presenting and to make it a little bit more conversational, more approachable, and to think more carefully about the order in which we say things and what we're saying. So a little bit less data and a little bit more story, a little bit more context to really drive home why the information is useful and appropriate for the end user. And there's some quotes I really like to kind of motivate the power of story. The first is from Annette Simmons, a psychologist. Think of story as a mnemonic device for complex ideas. And so years later, the data you're not going to remember, but what you're going to remember is that story, that kind of residue that exists after the details evaporate. Next, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough, by Albert Einstein. And this reminds me of the quote that's attributed to lots of people, which is, I would have written a shorter letter, but I didn't have the time. Right, so it's actually a lot harder to be able to explain something, to write something that is simpler and shorter. A metaphor that I think about is I backpack, and I canoe and kayak, I don't know if anyone here in the room does, but when I have a really big backpack, I'm putting a lot of stuff I don't need in that backpack, more clothes, more food, more water. I'm not going to have a good time. It's too much weight. It's cumbersome, right? But if I have a small backpack, I'm going to really carefully choose what I'm putting in that small backpack. And story and video, as I'll talk about in a little bit, is a way to really force yourself to have a small backpack, to think carefully about what you're saying and how you're saying it. So not a backpack that's quite that big, something a little bit smaller. Nothing in science has any value to society if it is not communicated. Amen. That's why we're in the room. So now that I've motivated story a little bit, thinking about the data we're presenting a little bit more as story, why video is the next question. If you are using text, you're reading, writing, that is the thing, that is the data, that's the jerky, that's the distillate. But if you're using video, you're also using other senses, and therefore you're appealing to people that have different learning styles. I'm a visual learner. I need to see things to really be able to fully understand. I'm guessing you guys working in extension also have a little bit more sensory needs when you're learning or when you're educating. And kinesthetic is something you can kind of get at with video as well. So video is also just on a very local level with your listener, affecting their brain, right? So scientists have found that in visual storytelling, you're utilizing what's called the human mirror neuron system. And so that is, there's areas of the brain and there's neurons in those areas that fire regardless of if you yourself are doing an action or if you're observing someone else doing an action. So you're basically creating a pathway of action in the viewer that is going to make technological adoption a lot more likely, that's going to have them reflect what's happening on the screen. And that is a really very powerful brain chemistry synaptic connections to be able to utilize and leverage when you're doing video. Video is very accessible. There are no barriers to access. I don't know how many times I've found a perfect article online somewhere, and I'm going to download that PDF, and then what do you see? You have to pay $40. Pay $140, right? And I've heard farmers complain about this time and time again. The farmers that are more interested in research, that want to get down to that level, can't, because they can't afford these journals. If I'm a dairy farmer, I can't afford to go to conferences. You know, I have to milk in the morning, milk in the afternoon. So thinking about accessibility and taking that extension product and putting it right into their home to access at any time is really important. It's accessible to many more populations than print. If you're visually impaired, there's You can still hear it if you're auditorily impaired. There's closed caption, right? So there's a lot of ways to get around some other handicaps that viewers might be having. You have 24/7 access on multiple platforms. You can now take in data, as we all know, on your tractor, in your bed, on your way to work, in traffic, whatever that is. So it's very accessible. And once it is accessed through the farmer, through the end user, whether that's a consultant or someone in industry, no matter who we're educating to, once we use that video as that that point of entry, it's a threshold. It's a doorway. Then you can link to more complex information. You can link to published papers, online content. You can start to put your charts and graphs in there, right? You can kind of sneak those in once you get the farmer's attention. It's another access point to your website, right? So you can increase traffic to your website through video. And it's a savvy way to increase knowledge about resources, to really let folks know what is out there. The increased impact is substantial. This is a video that we made in our lab in conjunction with Roger Schmidt, who works for Nutrient and Pest Management. And this was posted in July, and it already has almost 17,500 views as of just a few days ago when I took this snapshot. So when we're thinking about readership on a print resource versus viewer volume, it's pretty impressive. It can be pretty incredible how many more people you're going to be able to reach. And that is in large part due to links, likes, and shares, right? So these things are infinitely shareable. If you have a print document, I guess you could, you know, Xerox it or fax it to somebody, but it's not going to be as easily or readily shareable. That information is not going to reach as many people. When you can just put a URL on your Facebook page and your blog, on a newspaper blog, you know, there's many places that you can link to. And this is a can of worms I'm not going to open, especially being from Wisconsin, but there is decreased funding for a lot of extension. That's something that's happening all over the place. So we've got to really think about how we're going to be able to increase our reach as our regional reach is decreased. And you can release press releases about new videos you have, new resources you have, and then those press releases can send out the URL. So you can have that video hosted on dozens and dozens of websites. You have so many more points of entry when you're doing video. Another thing that video can help, I think, is the PR problem that researchers can sometimes have when working with producers, from working with dozens and dozens of producers over a few years. You hear some of the complaints. Research is limited in scope, doesn't address farmer concerns, it's too complex, it's too confusing, it's not taught well. And there are certain segments of the agricultural community that can feel that they're not being paid attention to by extension. Organic has historically been one, though that is very fast changing. And the complaints about the top-down nature of a lot of the research and extension that gets out to farmers. And so something we can do to address that PR problem is not only to do video, a lot of us are doing video, but is to share the screen with researchers and farmers together. I think that's a very effective form of outreach and communication and kind of revolutionary. So if farmers and researchers are co-telling a story, you're going to validate and motivate that researcher for any producer that's going to be watching this video. And that, again, uses that kind of human mirror neuron system, right? If they see a researcher in a lab coat, in a tie, explaining about a new technique to use, a new technology to use, they don't relate to that. That's not who they are, right? But if they see a farmer talking about that same technique, maybe they were part of the research, maybe they've been benefited from the research, they're going to be able to, that producer is going to reflect on that person that they're viewing and increase the impact. We're really utilizing the power of farmer-to-farmer education. We all know that farmers learn best from one another. They're looking over their fence line. They're driving past their neighbor's fields on the way to church or work. And we're using the vast power of that farmer-to-farmer network, but we're becoming a part of that conversation by being in these videos, and we can also up the resolution and the complexity of some of those conversations. Video can also be looked at one way, a field walk for 17,000 people. However many people are able to view that video, you're reaching so many more people than the 60 or so that show up at a field walk. Increases the likelihood of technological adoption. And I think the most revolutionary thing is that levels the power dynamic. It's no longer top-down. There's a farmer who's an expert at what they do. There's a researcher who's an expert at what they do. And they're both able to talk about the same topic and increase the impact and access to all populations. So, all that being said, I'm going to show a really short example of what this could look like. These are just clips that are from a completely unrelated project, and I just knocked this together probably in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes, really easy. It's not great to show you that it doesn't have to be great. It can still be impactful. And so to give a quick introduction, this is going to be a small video about the Carrot Improvement for Organic Agriculture project at UW-Madison. It's basically a variety trial looking at novel colored carrots, red carrots, yellow carrots, purple carrots, And out of this program, there's a new carrot that's going to be released through plant breeder Phil Simon at UW-Madison. And so you can kind of view this as a public service announcement or as an advertisement for something that's coming out of this project. This is something you could post really quickly on your blog. It could be picked up many places. So with that introduction, it's just about 3 minutes. So one very small example of what that could look like, right? So that put that together very, very quick. I think it'd be even more impactful if you had, you know, if you need farmer operations in fields, or if you're doing new soil testing techniques, if you're doing the Haney test in the field, whatever that is. Video of farmers doing that with researchers explaining the information and the data behind that can be extremely effective. So if I have remotely interested you in doing a little bit more video, there are some things to think about in terms of what you need to get this done. First one is cheap camcorder with image stabilization. I've seen way too many shaky videos online. I'm guessing you guys have maybe seen too many shaky videos online. So image stabilization is key. This camera, the Canon Vixia, $100, $150, not too bad. But you can never, rule number one is you can never use the audio that is going to be on this camcorder. You need to have an external audio source is the biggest thing you could know. So you can get a shotgun microphone, you can put on that camera, walk around, point it at anything, it'll pick up really good audio. You can also get an external audio recorder. Tripod is also very, very important, seems obvious, but just to throw that out there. And there are lots of video editing softwares that you can use. If you have a Mac, you have iMovie. This is a program you can do anything that you need on. It's pretty simple, very user-friendly. If you have a Windows platform computer, you have Windows Video Maker. So you can use that for the exact same things. There's also kind of open source and freeware, WeVideo, Wondershare, Filmora, cheaper programs, Camtasia. You can do some research, figure out what works best for you, but chances are your computer already has a very simple video editing platform that you can use. There's a lot of resources out there. Lynda.com will teach you everything you need to know about photo and video. Really simple tutorials, really great. A lot of universities actually have subscriptions to this. You can access it through the university. YouTube videos, as always, are a great way to learn anything that you need to know. If you have iMovie or Windows Video Maker, those programs have tutorials you can walk through. B&H Photo and Video is an online store that also has great tutorials. Your university library, AV, IT department can help you out. And other researchers, I would love to help anyone out that needs any advice or any consultation on any videos that they're working on, anything that I can do to increase access and impact of our education materials through video, I'm happy to do. So send me a message. That's all I got. If you have any questions, if we have time.
Not at this time, but
okay. I'll be around afterwards. Thanks.
Thank you.